When the Reb Chaim Volozhin was nifter, at the Petir of Reb Chaim Volozhin, there was a Rav in the Vardik at the time. He was known as an Adam Gadol. His name was Hagoyin Reb David. Reb David was the Av Bezin of Navardik. And in the Hesped, which is written in a sefer called Galya Masechta, writes that the Av Beizik Nusoy, that even at the advanced age of Reb Chaim, towards the later stages of his life, when he was really old, he had no koyach really to say the shir personally. He was very weak. Reb David writes, and he says in the Hesped, he said, nevertheless, apol pikein, goydel hashgachosoy haprotis al klal b'nei ha'yeshiva ein lahagid. But nevertheless, he did not leave out his supervision and his personal input into the yeshiva until the very last moment. Which even though he basically didn't have any koyach to actually say the shir, but nevertheless he did not keep away from anything, supervising, having his eye and being aware of what's going on in the yeshiva at all times. As a matter of fact, making sure that things are running the way that he hopes it to run. To the point, his connection with the yeshiva, to the very last moment, was so committed that Reb David wrote that Kol Mi Sheyotzo L'Chaim, means ultimately, and people, Talmidim, they went out into the world, they got married, they were earning a living. But he said, any Talmud that came out of Volozhin, Hichzik B'Toyre L'Lamdo Tamidin Kisidim. Everyone was a Kaveyitim L'Toyre, always connected to Toyre. The Chinuch and the input and the connection to Toyre that the Talmud of Yeshiva Volozhin that received and absorbed was something that remained with him, he says, throughout all of his life. Even many, many years after leaving Yeshiva, he still was connected always to Toyre. And then Reb David says something which is quite well known, which is unique about the yeshiva Volozhin. Reb David wrote that b'cholaylo v'laylo, he said that every night, even though it wasn't official seder ha-yeshiva, late at night, ha-yikivuim mishmorois eder levado, he says miklala yeshiva, Reb Chaim set up shifts that there should be learning, 24-hour learning, continuous, non-stop learning in the yeshiva. So you had an official Seder Yeshiva, which meant that everybody had to be there throughout the Seder. But even beyond the Seder, it was instituted as a system of rotation of Talmidim to make sure that there is Torah going on, as he says, Yoimom V'laylo V'yechshu M'liyoy Shoinim Mafsikim L'budet. There never was a time in Yeshiva Volozhin there would not be Talmidim learning the Yeshiva. It wasn't this Talmud, it was that Talmud. There was always somebody. This is the way they made sure. They didn't just leave it up to chance. This was part of the takonin. It's part of the way that Reb Chaim set up the Limud HaYeshiva, that there should be continuous learning Yom HaValaylo. And he says, Ab Bileil HaChnos HaShabbos. This also says the night, Friday night, Leposku Mishmores HaLolu. And he says that Reb Chaim himself, Behu Ba'atzmoy U'Bechvoidoy Ho Yimishtadu Leprokim, there's Yoytze V'Nichnas. Even Friday nights, Reb Chaim would come pay a visit to the Yeshiva just to check it out, to see, in fact, if the learning is going on. So even after it was instituted, Reb Chaim would manage to have hands-on input and supervision to make sure that there is continuous learning in the yeshiva. The sefer, which is called Avi HaYeshivas, points out that matter-of-factly, that this idea that Reb Chaim had instituted, that should be continuous, non-stop learning in the yeshiva, says even Moitzoy Yom Kippur, that after a whole day of fasting, so what's the first thing you do after fasting? You go home to take a bite and kachave. People, Take, did not impose on the Talmidim, much Yom Kippur. They should go first to have a bite. First of all, to suck on it. People fasting all day, you can't institute that something. Don't go home. However, Moitzoy Yom Kippur, when everybody would go home, be tired from fasting and so on, Reb Chaim himself, he said, what he would do is, his first bite to eat was spiritual food. He'd sit down to learn, until to make sure that everybody else had taken a bite, and then Talmidim would come back, whoever they were, and then he would go first and break his fast. But much Yom Kippur, he wouldn't impose on anybody else, but he imposed on himself. To make sure that there is no hafsok in learning, even on Motzoy Yom Kippur, that you can't impose on somebody else. It's very nice to be idealistic. Not somebody else's cheshem, Motzoy Yom Kippur, but Reb Chaim himself, to sit down to learn it. In fact, here it says, he sat down to learn, he said, Ad Chatzos Laila. That's an Amotzim Kippur. He sat down to learn Ad Chatzos Laila. And then, he's worried and concerned that the yeshiva would be empty. And part of his takana was it would not be a day in the year, but it would not be some learning going on. This could I take it to mention, very interesting thing, that Reb Chaim Shmulevich, Shemira Sheshivas, Zachoyin Lebrocha, that he pointed out that he heard from his father, Reb Alter. That was the name of his father. Reb Chaim Shmulevich's father's name was Reb Alter. He said that in the time of Reb Chaim in Yeshiva Zolojin, he says that there was a boker who a question was asked during the middle of the Suda, lunch, supper. So they came, they asked, the boker, they asked him a particular question. And he was the Baki HaGadol B'Yos in Yeshiva. He was the biggest Baki, the most knowledgeable of all time either. Best Baki in Yeshiva. And they asked him a particular question. Turns out that the question was something that happens to be Mefurish in the Tosfos, and he didn't realize. The Baki didn't realize. Finally, when he found out that it was the question that was asked him was the Beferish in Tosfos, and for him being the biggest Baki around, it was tremendous, tremendous tzar. So he found it out while he was still in the middle of the Suda. He had so much tzar that he left. He left the table before benching. And he went away to some secluded spot. And he learned there for 7 years straight. This is where Reb Chaim said he heard it from his father. He learned there 7 years straight, and it turned out to be one of the Gedoy Lahador. Chaim said, I don't mention the name of that bocher because Mishum Kvoidoy. Because later on they told over Reb Chaim Volozhin, and they said to him, told him the Maise, that this bocher had so much tzar when he didn't know the answer that he left. He left the suit even before benching, but he turned out to be the greatest masmid for seven years and turned out to be one of the Gedoy Lador. Was it okay what he did? So B'chaim said like this. Had he asked the Shaila if he's allowed to leave before benching? Definitely not. But had he waited until after benching, he would not have become the Gedoy Lador that he was. Because when you become inspired to do something, you got to do it right away. He had so much star which motivated him, but he had to do something. He has to now set up a lifestyle, and he made a cheshbon, he has to now learn continuously for kach v'kach shonim. So many years. When you become inspired to do something, you have to do it away. Had he asked the Shaila, he could have told him, no, you're not allowed to leave before benching. But would he waited even until after benching, would have acted immediately, he says, would not have turned out the same way. This is, again, when we get inspired, we should not take it for granted, but rather you really seize the opportunity. We see that in business, people say all the time, seize the opportunity. In your spiritual life, certainly, all the more, we have to be able to seize the opportunities when they come around. We are here, Rabbi Sai, in Perik Yud Ches, in the Nefesh HaChaim. And as we mentioned, that traditional studies in Nefesh HaChaim, usually these prokim are skipped until Perik Chof Aleph, because of the Kabbalistic content. Yet we have made an attempt, so to speak, to cover them. So again, some of them are a little bit abstract concepts until we really get to Perik Chof Aleph. And we take every perek as it comes, and I decide, so far we did some of each perek, and we did not skip anything. So we'll be mamshich here in Perek Yud Ches. Again, after Perek Chof Aleph, it's more smooth sailing. You know, but this is basically a hemshich of the concepts that Rav Chaim Volozhin has basically set aside for us. Let us point out again, just very bekitzer, because this was something that was mentioned the last four prokim. And Reb Chaim basically told us that there are three elements in the soul of a person. And the three elements, again, are nefesh, ruach, and neshama. These are very fundamental concepts, divisions. Fundamental Kabbalistic concepts of nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Found in all the Sfarim that deal with these issues, you always find the meaning of naran, nun, resh, nun, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. And these basically, again, these three concepts of nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Nefesh, again, is the lowest level. And we said that is basically the basic, the lowest life force. That is the basic life force that a person has comes from the chelik, from the element called nefesh. As we pointed out, even animals also, who are alive, obviously, they have what's called a nefesh. And that is the base humanistic, animalistic portion of the life of a person, animal person. And nefesh is keneged ma'aseh, the power and the ability to be able to move around and to do things. The person is alive. He can move his limbs, he can move his eivorim. That comes from the koyach of nefesh. And then comes the next level, the next element in the soul of a person, which is ruach. Ruach is where the koyach of dibur comes from. That's something that only humans have, people have. Animals don't have that. And ruach is where the power of speech comes from. That's from the element of ruach in the soul of a person. And then comes the highest level, which is the third level, which is neshama. And neshama, basically, as we pointed out, as Reb Chaim said, neshama somosh neshima, breath, breathing. But whose breathing are we talking about? And Reb Chaim tells us an incredible thing. We're talking about the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself blew, right? Breath, a chelik of his breath is connected with us. However, Reb Chaim said that although original man, the breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, neshama, which is the highest level, neshama really was contained within the body of man. However, after the chait of Adam HaRishon, neshama, which is the actual breath of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, separated itself from the Gufa Adam, because the Gufa Adam had a tremendous yerida. And therefore, what happens to the chelik neshama, which is the highest level? The Chaim told us a number of prokim back, neshama basically is hovering over the person. It's hovering over the person that what we are able to enjoy, if we're zoiche, the sparks, the nitzutzim. The nitzutzim is the sparks of the neshama. And the more our avodas Hashem, the greater our Torah, the greater our tefillah, the more connection and the more sparks are we able to glean from the chelik of neshama. Meaning that we come all that much more closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because the chelik neshama, that is representative of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The closer we are, the more contact that we can make to the chelik of neshama, that means we are cleaving even closer and making, touching base with the Kadosh Baruch Hu all that much more. So neshama really is the ultimate madrega, coming close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And being Adam HaRishon was chayte, so the chelik neshama, which originally was within man, is now moved out of man, is hovering above him. But we make contact, gleaning from the sparks of that neshama. But we can come closer and closer to be able to glean even more sparks and even more sparks based upon how much Torah and Avodah we do and then we accomplish. By the way, Reb Chaim pointed out there was one exception, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Reb Chaim, even after the chet of Adam HaRishon, Moshe Rabbeinu was such a high level that he was the only human being after the chet of Adam HaRishon was able to enjoy the chelik neshama within his guf. That's what you might remember, Reb Chaim said, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was referred to as what? Ish Elokim. The Zoysa Abrocha Sheberach Moshe Ish Elokim, what do you mean Ish Elokim? The chelik of Elokim, which is the chelik neshama, the breath of a Kodesh Baruch, as it were, is a mamish within him. But that's Moshe Rabbeinu. But anybody else, we only have the neshama which is hovering above. So, what Reb Chaim told us again in the previous, and that is, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though we have the three levels, which is Nefesh, which is the lowest level, and then we have Ruach, which is the next level, and then Neshama, which is the highest level. By the way, Neshama basically is Keneged Machshava. Maisa is Nefesh, Ruach is Dibur, and Neshama is Keneged Machshava. We say Neshama Shebemoichi, the Loshen. That has to do with being able to perceive Torah thoughts in the profound way. That's from the Hashpah, that's from the influence of the Chelik Neshama that man is able to glean from. So our Koyach to be able to think in Torah, all of the profundity of Torah, and certainly even if we have the ability to recite the mystical portions of Torah, that comes from the influence of the Chelik Neshama. The closer we have the Shaykhis to our Chelik Neshama, the more we are able to fathom and be able to plunge into the secrets of the mystical portions of Torah. That comes from the Chelik of Neshama. Chaim told us that even though there are three levels, lower, higher, and higher, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the ability of man to link them together like a chain. Which means through Avodas Hashem, we can have Nefesh connecting with Ruach, and Ruach connecting with Neshama. Well, if A is connected to B, B is connected to C, then A actually is connected to C as well. Simple Cheshbon. So if Nefesh is connected to Ruach, and Ruach is connected to Neshama, then Nefesh and Neshama really all become connected. And Reb Chaim pointed out, just to repeat this again, we mentioned last week and 2 weeks ago also, that the way it works in the hierarchy, that the highest point of Nefesh, right, touches the lowest point of Ruach, because Ruach is above it, right? So the peak of Nefesh is right underneath Ruach, and the peak of Ruach is right underneath Neshama. And that way, right, if you are able successfully to elevate our Nefesh, that the peak should actually make contact with the bottom of Ruach, and then even more through Avodas Hashem, to be able to successfully see that the peak of Ruach, the top of Ruach, can make contact to the bottom of Neshama. So now we have a link. We have connected Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. So B'chaim goes on to say as follows. We see now, we start with the first paragraph. He said, V'chol zeh, v'roif tuvoi v'chazdoi, ha'godol izborach shemoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he says, roif tuvoi v'chazdoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite goodness, what did he do? Being that Hakadosh Baruch Hu in His goodness, Asher Chofetz LaHatzdikenu LeHeitiv Achrisenu, Hakadosh Baruch Hu's Rotzen, ultimate Rotzen, what Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants is just to be able to do good. We, Rabbeisai, if things don't turn out so good, it's because we have created the barriers. It's because of us. It's not Hakadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, there is a power, and there's a pipeline of Toiva waiting and ready to shower down. But we have to be able to have the Beis Kibul to be able to receive it. And if some reason we're not zoichet to the Reif Toiv, at least the way we would like it to be, is because we ourselves are creating the barrier. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chofetz l'hatzdikenu l'heitiv achrisenu. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Have HaKadosh Baruch Hu there for being the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to, in His infinite goodness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bestow Toiva. So what did He do? L'zois hif l'yetzo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu devised the plan, the kovam binyan zeh. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it possible, and what Reb Chaim is going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it possible, this was His plan, because of His Reif Toiv, because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His infinite goodness, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the architectural, right, the architectural connection between Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, that He made it possible to be able to link all three. Nefesh, which is the lower, Ruach, which is step higher, and then Neshama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it possible to link all three elements of the soul, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, to be linked to each other. Let's take a look inside. She called Bechina, that every level, Mahagim Aleilu, every level, whichever level, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, right? Every level of the three Bechinois, these are the three Bechinois, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, Tizkasher, Bechina, Sholeo, right? That each one basically links to the one above it. Nefesh, which is on the bottom, makes connection with Ruach, which is above it. Ruach now makes connection with Neshama, which is above it. Which ultimately, if they are linked one to the other in succession, so they all basically are now considered to be like one. What is the purpose? The purpose is that even the lowest portion of man, even the animalistic portion of man, can come to the point he's able to reach a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because again, the Chelik Neshama, which is the highest level, that's the Chelik, of course, which is closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we can somehow figure out a way that our nefesh should be able to touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how would that happen? By elevating our nefesh to be able to connect with Ruach, and then Ruach connects with Neshama. So nefesh ultimately is also connected with Neshama, which means making contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the ability to be able to link these three levels. Kedei shal yidei zeh yuchal odom laloi shal iskasher mimato lemailo ma'at ma'at. Enabling man to rise gradually to ever loftier spiritual levels. What does it depend on? How is he going to grow? How is he going to grow? How is he going to make connection nefesh to ruach, ruach to neshama? You know what it depends on? Very simple. It all depends according to the degree that one will immerse himself in Torah and in avodah, which is tefillah and so on. That the haras liboi ba'ahavosoi v'yirosoi, the purity of his heart, the love of Hashem, the fear of Hashem, the more Yishmaim he has, the more ahavas Hashem that he has. Achiyale, if a person really invests and he's mashkia himself and puts himself into Torah and Avodah, says Reb Chaim, you know how high you reach? Achiyale v'yizdabek b'tzroir ha'chaim ki b'yochel, es Hashem alekov yizborach shemoi, if he shor shoy madregosoy. Reb Chaim says you're able to reach a point of clinging to the Tzroi Rachaim, the bond of life. What is that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, as it were. He is the Tzroi Rachaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tzroi Rachaim. The life of life. The true Chaim. That's the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we are able to Reiv Avodah. But that means even our Chelik Nefesh, even our lowest Chelik of our, of the three levels, by connecting one to the other through a form of a link, the nefesh to ruach and ruach to neshama. So now Reb Chaim actually comes on to tell us, and this is something which is very interesting, because here's where you're going to find it. Actually, the Ramban also discusses it, Ramban al Chumash, and that is based upon these yisoides, this foundation. We come and move on to understand the concept. You know, in the Torah, there is an einish, a punishment called koris. What does koris mean? We always say the nichrisa ha-nefesh ahi, which means the nefesh will be cut off. What does it actually mean, the nefesh will be cut off? I mean, it's very easy to translate it, but to understand what it means, And even after all said, do we really understand? But at least we have an inkling and we have some direction in what, in fact, Karis means. What does it mean when we say that a person does a particular Adera, which is punishable by Karis? What does Karis mean? He's cut off. Where is he cut off from? What actually is being cut off? What is taken away? From where is it taken away? What is being taken away? What, simply put, what does Karis mean? Now that we have an understanding, at least, that three levels in the soul, there's Nefesh and there's Ruach and Neshama. The first thing, which is the good news, the B'chaim says, when you do an Aver that's punishable by Karis, the Chelik that's cut off is only the Chelik Nefesh, not the Chelik Ruach and Neshama. So at least we can breathe something. At Chaz V'Shom, Chaz V'Shom, Mefeber, we were over on this Karis. Hopefully never benaze it. B'shaygi, you don't have this problem. Because Bava doesn't give an Einish Karis. B'shaygi. But I mentioned, who knows? And maybe we were somewhere in a lifetime, who knows? So one thing is, first of all, you can always do tshuva. That's the first thing. And you should do tshuva. So that itself is always the solution. Always the open. There's no better solution, and there's no other solution. It's the only solution. It's the best solution. It's everything. That's all there is. There's nothing else, and that's the best ever possible. There's nothing that can never do it any better. There's no hechatimsev. Tshuva is the beri chadosh, you become a newly born person. But worst comes to worst. Worst comes to worst. A person was over on an Isser Kares. He did not do tshuva, unfortunately. Tragedy. Yes, terrible tragedy. Terrible tragedy. And he didn't do tshuva. And by the way, I have to tell you something, which is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And you say that in Kelm, say, I'm a Tzoy Yom Kippur. They would be Moira. Mitzoy Yom Kippur. Do tshuva. So what do you mean? Because you have to realize Yom Kippur really is the chasime. Keep the chasime. Chaz V'Shalom, if you didn't do tshuva on Yom Kippur, if one is Cholila Rosha, we know it's Nechtav Nechtam Lemisa. That's what it says. So if Yom Kippur passed and you didn't do tshuva, so what do you mean do tshuva now? It's already too late. It's already after the chasime. So why were they Ma'ira in Kelm to do tshuva Motzei Yom Kippur? So the Kelm Magid said, even though it may not overturn your gzardin, but if Chaz V'Shalom, someone has to die, let him die about tshuva at least. In other words, if Yom Kippur was chosen, but he had to leave the world, but do tshuva now. The big difference how one leaves this world. If he leaves this world, it's about tshuva, or he leaves this world, unfortunately, not about tshuva. Totally different cheshbon, what's waiting him. So, forget about overturning the gzardin, but even if he has to leave this world, let him leave the world at least, Ebal Tshuva. By the way, there's something very interesting. It says, when Shon Rishoyne, someone gets married, so the first year, the Torah exempted him from a lot of things. Right? Miu ish ha-shebono ba'is chodosh lechanochoy. Or a person, let's say, not ha-kerem, let's say he planted, and he didn't have an... It says, Yelch v'yoshiv lebeisoy, or a person just got married. So the Shon Rishoyne and a number of things that the Torah said, you know what? That you're exempt from going into Mochama. But let's focus. The Torah says if somebody basically built a new house and didn't have an opportunity to be mechanech, didn't have an opportunity yet to be mechanech the bayis. So he's potter. So Kozman, he didn't have the opportunity. Why? Because maybe penyom is lemochama, because he might go out to war. Interesting thing. And he'll never have the opportunity. Never have the opportunity to move into that new house. You hear the cheshmah of the Torah. It's an amazing cheshmah. There's a war out there. Right? We need people to go into Mochama. The Torah has a consideration. You built a new house. Right? So you know what? You're part of from going to Mochama. Why? Because maybe, by the way, the lesson of the pasuk is, Penyom is b'mochama v'ish acher, and somebody else is going to move into the house. And Rashi says, Agmas Nefesh who's there. It's an Agmas Nefesh. Wait a minute. If you die in war and somebody else takes the house, you're never going to know about it. So what kind of agnus nefesh you're going to have? The positive is penyomus b'mukhama, the ish acher yekochena. Well, if that happens, you're not going to have agnus nefesh. You're never going to know. So you know what the Imre Emes said? The pshat is like this. You know what the agnus nefesh is? A person who built a new house and he's going to war. If he's going to die in war, what should a person be thinking about in war? A person should be thinking about in war is that he possibly might lose his life, he should be thinking about tshuva. He'll be thinking about the new house. That's the Agnes Efesh. That's what the Torah doesn't want. Penyomet v'muchama. And what's he going to be thinking about? The new house. Oh, the new house. I'm leaving the new house. That's something the Torah wanted to avoid. That's not the way a person leaves this world. You shouldn't die that way. A person should die about tshuva. Penyomet v'muchama v'ishachay kochenu. No, no. Don't go into war. Because if the time comes that you have to leave this world, you should think about more important things. Not be busy thinking about what happens to the house. That the Torah wanted to avoid. So we have the Einish of Karis. What does Karis mean, Rabbi Yisrael? So comes Rabbi Chaim and it says as follows. Comes Rabbi Chaim, and I just want to make another little hagdoma which you need, because again, then we will again understand the flow of the words here again, because he uses a number of terminologies here, and then it'll flow quite smoothly. Being that we have basically these three elements here, we have Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. And Rabbi Chaim just made a point of saying that we are able to link them all together, having the peak of Nefesh reaching the bottom of Ruach, and the peak of Ruach reaching the bottom of Neshama, which is above it. It's above it. Now, you might remember we had, in a previous perek, Rabbi Chaim said that these three elements, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, they themselves are subdivided into 10 parts. In other words, Nefesh has 10 chalokim. The 10 chalokim, Rabbi Yisai, are the Eser Spheres, Keser, Chochmo, Bino, Chesed, Givura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yisrael, Malchus. In other words, Chesed, Givura are seven. The first three, Keser, Chochmo, Bino, then the next seven that we have in the sphere. You say Chesed, Givura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yisrael, Malchus. So every level is made up of these 10. These are 10 spiritual forces of energy. The Eser Spheres are 10 spiritual forces of energy. And when we learned Tanya, we went through a little bit, tried to explain each one, but not the time to go into it, and it's not really Negeya. So we're not going to get into that now. But again, these Esospheres, starting from Keser, Chochma, Bino, the top, these are the top three, followed by the seven, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, together we have 10. So Nefesh has 10, Ruach has 10, right? Ruach has 10, and then Neshama. So what happens is, so when we talk about, when we say that the top of Nefesh, right, reaches the bottom of Ruach, it means the top of Nefesh means Keser. Keser is the top. Keser, Chochmah, you start from the top. Keser, Chochmah, Bino, Keser, Gibur, the Paris. So which is the top? The top is Keser. That's the top one. So the Keser of Nefesh reaches the bottom of Ruach. And the Keser of Ruach, which is the top of Ruach, reaches the bottom of Neshama. That's just the idea. So let's go further. So now, so the first thing that I mentioned is, Rabbi Chaim is going to tell us, Karis only applies to the chelik of the nefesh, as we'll see. And we'll see what that means. But it does not apply to the chelik of ruach. The chelik of ruach is not cut off, even though he did an aveira of karis. The chelik of ruach is not cut off. The chelik of neshama is also not cut off. But let me tell you something. Rabbi Chaim says, however, even though the chelik ruach is not cut off when you do something that's an issa karis, it's not cut off, but it's tainted, and it's tarnished. Ruach, you know, the Aveira actually tarnishes. So if somebody puts dirt, physical dirt, you know, on a suit or on your body, you're going to be dirty. This is spiritual dirt. An Aveira is spiritual dirt. And therefore, when you do an Aveira of Kores, Kores, in a stricter sense, only applies to Nefesh. Ruach, there's no Kores in Ruach, but there is Kilkul, he calls it. There's Kilkul. There's damage. There's damage, there's blemish, there is tarnish, the ruach. Now listen, Rabbi Yisrael, Neshama is so high that the Aveira of the Yid cannot even tarnish it. That's an amazing thing. That Neshama is so on such a high level that the Aveira that a person does with his human body is not able, even he says, to tarnish and to touch the chelik Neshama. That's basically what Rabbi Chaim is constructing here. Let's take a look in the next few lines. Let's try to see it inside. So then he goes further and he says, Zois void acheres. Continues Rabbi Chaim and said there's more. In other words, we said first that there's a linkage between Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. But there's more. Ki yesh kam avoinois. Rabbi Chaim tells us we know that there are a number of aveiros. Sha'an Nefesh, ha'choitas, ba'achas meheno, nitzchaiva, kores, oyavado in chaz v'sholem. We know there are a number of aveiros that are punishable by kores. Kores, avoisai, is spiritual excision. It's spiritual excision, or he says destruction of the soul, he says. What happens when Karis takes place? What actually happens? Says Reb Chaim further. The Inyan HaKarisu. You know what Karis means is? It means Shebechinis HaNefesh. Again, we're talking about the lower level. It's the Bechin of Nefesh. Nitzak V'Nichras Mishorshoi Ha'Elyon. It means that the Neshama is cut off from its root in the higher world. And the cord, the string, as it were, that connects the Nefesh to the higher world, and the cord with which the Nefesh would tie to the heavenly realm, now becomes severed. So the Neshama, as it were, you have to realize that the ultimate Kedusha is in the higher world. This is the Gashmiyus of the world. However, the Neshama, which is the spiritual aspect of man, connected to the root, and the root is Kulay Kedusha. When a neshama undergoes karis, you cut it off from the root. Okay, imagine you have a plant. And you have a tree. You cut it off from the root. So imagine, there's not very much life left. If that has been cut off from the root, the nefesh is being cut off, he says, from its shayrish ha'elyon, from its spiritual root. It's cut off. And the cord, as he pointed out, that kept it connected, has been severed. And he points out, u'kumashikosa b'zoyar truma. And now, the Zohar says, and go to the brackets right underneath where he says the translation of the Zohar, as you have it in the editions. Just skip a line or two and go into the immediate brackets. This is the Zohar. The Yesh Nefesh. The Zohar says, Shekosobot says, V'nichlusa ha-nefesh ahi. The Pasuk says, V'nichlusa ha-nefesh hi milfonai ani Hashem. Ma'u milfonai, what does it mean that it is cut off from me? Shalei shayra olav haruach. Oh, because till now we said that nefesh and ruach can be connected. But Karis means that Nefesh separates itself from Ruach. And by the way, Nefesh separates itself from Ruach. And Ruach, and the only way that Nefesh can be shaykes to Neshama, we said, is Nefesh connects to Ruach. Ruach connects itself to Neshama. But if Nefesh is cut off from its Ruach contact, it will not be able to make a Neshama contact, which means coming as close to Kadosh Baruch Hu as possible. But the Neshama now, the Nefesh has been cut off from its Ruach contact. The nefesh now is isolated. But however, but let's remember, it's only the chelik ha-nefesh. The chelik ha-ruach has not been cut off. So at least the next two levels are chelik ruach and chelik neshama. Even though, chas v'sholom, we did an aveira of karis, karis does not affect the ruach level in terms of being cut off. And certainly not the neshama level. What does affect is the nefesh level. So B'chaim goes on further and he says, he says, Ayin v'likut t'toyer, that's from the Arizal, he says, Parshas Boy, v'mechil t'parshas Boy, p'shay Parshas Kisiso, there's the three Parshas, Baloyzcho, Parshas Shalach, and Nichrusa Ein, he says, but the Nichrusa is Elahav Soko. It means now it has been cut off. V'zeh Shomar, and that's why the Novi Yeshaya says, Ki im haboy noiseichem, it's because of your averus, hoyum avdilim beinechem lebein elikechem. Hainu lebein elikechem amish. When we say that the averus make a separation between me and us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't mean just simply there's a wall. It means it has been ripped away. It means our physical contact, that the neshama to ruach and ruach to neshama, thereby making actual contact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the averus have been mavdil. Mavdil has cut it away. And therefore there's created a clear separation now. The nefesh has been uprooted, has been taken away from its connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. But that's not enough. You know what happens? If you have no connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so where does the nefesh find itself? You know, Rabbi Yisai, if you're not connected to Kedusha, then you're connected to the other side, which is even more terrible now. It's not enough that you're not close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have sunk into the swamp of Tumah. Look what he says, V'oz. And as a result, being that the nefesh has been cut away from a spiritual contact, so what happens with that nefesh? It has no spiritual nourishment. So where does it find itself? V'oz nitva'as, it sinks, be'imke ha'tuma v'aklipois rachmono l'tzlan. That's where it finds itself. So that, unfortunately, becomes the fate of the nefesh. But again, the good news is, A, we can always do tshuva. Always remember that. This is never permanent. No matter what Aveira a person did, a person can always come back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Rambam's lashon is that even if a person was a kofer be'ikar, kofer be'ikar means he denies the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He denies the mitzvah of Hashem. He's an apikoyrus mitchilos of Atzorcha. Rambam says even if a person is a afilu kofar be'ikar, says the Rambam. Lamish kofar be'ikar. Do you say this hadash? He's a kofer be'ikar. You can do tshuva. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes you back. So even after the Yoinish of Kores, you can still do tshuva. But Koponim, if Chaz v'Shalom he didn't, Rabbi Chaim's now going to tell us the nichrasa ha-nefesh, that the Kores aspect of being cut away right from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, from the spiritual connection, that's only the nefesh, but the ruach, the next level, does not become cut away. So skip now, go to the paragraph ulabal yidach mimenu nidach. Oh, so I want to tell you something else. And I'll tell you what he's going to say. You can see you have to skip in your editions. To skip a few lines, you go to Ubal Yidach Memenu Nidach. You got that paragraph there. So I want to mention what the B'chaim is saying now. He's saying something fantastic. He's saying even more. So we said that Kores is limited only to the level of Nefesh. Not Ruach and not the Neshama. Comes the B'chaim and he says, even Nefesh, that is susceptible to Kores, it's only the 9 lower Chalokim. But not the peak of Nefesh. Because the peak of Nefesh has to be available to try still to make some contact with Ruach. So that's the peak, right? The top of Nefesh is underneath Ruach. So point being that we said Keser is the top. So what's the next one? Chochmah. Starting from Chochmah Dam. Chochmah, Bino, Chesed, Givura, Tiferet. Starting from Chochmah Dam, 9 Madregas down. Keser is not part of Kores. Even in the chelik of nefesh. So there's a chesed even in that area. Not only HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow ruach to be susceptible to kares, and certainly not neshama, but even the chelik of nefesh, which is susceptible to kares, is the lower 9 chalokim of nefesh, but not the uppermost high. The peak of nefesh, which is keser, which that is the point which is should be able to make contact with ruach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not remove it. As he points out, why a person should not be banished forever. This allows us to come back. That's the point, he says. Ulabal yidach mimenu nidach. That's the posik. That in order, he says, in order that a person should not remain permanently banished. That's what it means. Ulabal yidach mimenu nidach. In order never to be banished forever. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not want us to be nidochim. Kodesh Baruch Hu does not want us to be nidochim forever. So therefore, Gozra Ritzoyna Yizbarach. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ordained. What did he ordain? Shlo Yuchrusu Chas V'Shom Ligamre Kol Hayud Chelke Bechines HaNefesh. Remember we said there are 10 Chalokim? So even in the 10 Chalokim of Nefesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that it's not all of the 10 Chalokim. It's only the lower 9. Not the peak of Nefesh. Because the peak of Nefesh is the point of making contact to the bottom of Ruach. So it says, Reb Chaim, Kodesh Baruch Hu made sure Gozra Ritzoyna Yizbarach. Kodesh Baruch Hu ordained that the case of Kores is only to the lower 9 of the 10 spiritual stages. The lower 9 of the 10 spiritual stages, like a test, Bechino Yitzha Tachtoinen. Mechochmo Dilo, you see from Chochmo. Because Keser, Chochmo, a Keser is the top. So starting from Chochmo, beneath Keser, from Chochmo down, you have 9. Like Chochmah, Bino, then Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. So, Keser remains untouched. It's from Chochmah down. That's what Reb Chaim says. Mechochmah, Dilo, Ulemato. From Chochmah going all the way down, you have 9. You have 9 stages, as you pointed out. Right? Heim Hanichrosim. Those are the ones, he says, that are cut off. However, he says, Avol Bechina Wel Yoyna. However, says Reb Chaim, but the 10th and the highest stage, which is Soid HaKeser Dilo, Keser is the 10th and the highest stage, which is on top. Eino nichreses. Says Reb Chaim, that is never disconnected from its heavenly root. So that chelik is never disconnected. Shemitzad, he says, the veikusa viskashrusa mechinas haruach, because that's the point that makes contact with ruach. That's the point that makes contact with ruach, the keser portion of nefesh. So that's right underneath ruach, like that's the peak of nefesh. So therefore, So being that it's connected with Ruach, so you know what happens? Being connected with Ruach, So therefore, it shares the fate of Ruach. We pointed out that Ruach is not part of Koris, right? Didn't we say that Ruach is not part of Koris? So the chelik that actually touches Ruach is also not part of Koris. So the chelik of Keser, which is the peak of Nefesh, which makes contact with Ruach, shares the fate of Ruach, which means just like Ruach is not susceptible to Koris, the Keser portion of Nefesh also not. And therefore, that's how a person always can rebuild, as you can say, the other nine that had been taken away. He can be able to rebuild it through tshuva, as you're going to say soon. Right now, he says, "Shemitzad veikusa viskashrusa and bechinas ruach." Being that keser, which is the top of nefesh, that's connected to the bottom of ruach, right? Keser, which is the top of nefesh, is connected to the bottom of ruach. Nidoinis, therefore, it shares the halacha, it shares the din, it's judged ki bechinas ruach she'ein bekaris. Kosh kusavnu lahalon, as we say further. And he says this is a tremendous chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not allow everything to be torn away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left a chelik that's still going to remain intact. And this, he says, is a tremendous chesed, he says, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that you are connected still to Ruach, the top, the keser of Nefesh, the top of Nefesh is connected to Ruach. Ruach remembers Dibur. Ruach remembers Dibur, that's the portion where Dibur comes from. So now utilize your dibur to say vidui. Utilize your ruach. Utilize your ruach to say vidui, he says. Shal yidei b'chinas ruach ha'nildei vidu divorim. He says, malev shu b'chinas ruach. Now to mean it, to say, to confess, not something to say it. That's just a verbal exercise. If to say it, I could believe. If they really mean it. Yis'alu gamatet b'chinas ha'nefesh. Now by verbally confessing the averis, so now the Balavera can reconnect. You see? Yisalu gamatet b'chinas ha'nefesh le'yizkashir kulam b'chinas ha'ruach, he says, b'mekedem. Now he's going to be able to reconnect the nine stages of his soul that were cut off and be able to reinstate them. So this is the koyach. So this is the way it's set up. Koris affects, first of all, what we see, number one, only the nefesh. It does not affect ruach. But even in the chelik of nefesh, it only affects the lower nine stages, not the top. The top, which is Keser, the top portion, the peak of Nefesh, which is the highest level of Nefesh itself, that is not affected. That is connected to Ruach, and therefore there's no Koris on that part. Just like Ruach has no Koris, Keser, the top of Nefesh, which is the closest to Ruach, does not have Koris either. And now you have the ability, being that you're still connected somewhat to Ruach, at least to one Chelik, to the Keser portion, you are able now to elevate the other nine also, to Vidui Devorim, to proper Tshuva. We can now basically reconnect the nine stages. It's not lost forever. That is the Maila. They see Mises Bezen, if a person doesn't have Aveira, who is Chayv Mises Bezen, he's Machal Shabbos B'mezid, you know there's no Tshuva. Tshuva is only between Benodim Lamokim, because the Bezen Shomalo. Bezen Shomata, Rabbi Yisrael, does not accept Tshuva. The person commits murder, right, with Hasua. Yeah? So now Bezen, right? Bezen will sentence him. He's Chayv Mises. So imagine a person goes before Bezin, says, Hashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu. That could be Potter. He's still going to be Chayv Misa. So a person commits any of the Aveira of the Arayas, those that are Chayv Misa's Bezin, so he can say, can do Tshuva. See, the Tshuva, that's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Bezin, by the way, cannot read your mind. They cannot read your heart. Everybody's going to try to cry, to try to, if his life depends on it. You know, it's not that you're worried about the Aveira, you're worried about getting caught. You know, that's what you're afraid of. So Kaponim, so the element of Tshuva only works between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Koris is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees if you mean it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees what's going on. And therefore, by the Vidui Devarim, which is the Chelik HaRuach, will rebuild your Chelik HaNefesh, which is underneath it. Will be able to rebuild it and reconnect the nine Chalokim of Nefesh that has been cut off through the Oynish of Koris. So goes to B'chaim now further. So now we skip the Hagor. You know, we don't do the Hagor, as we have decided, because we don't want to stop the flow. So go now, V'chein. We skip the Hagor, which is the smaller print in all of the editions, and go to the regular paragraphing, to the V'chein. So V'chein goes on to say, V'chein, and therefore, in Pogam, V'kilkul Chaz V'sholem, he says, if a person, let's say, was poigim, he sinned, the b'chinis ha-dibur. What happens when a person actually sins through the medium of dibur? Which chelik is it being poigim in? That's in the chelik of ruach. So if a person is poigim and he's mekalkul, the person basically, he tarnishes and he damages his dibur. Al yidei avoinoi shatuyim b'dibur. Through the averis, right, that are associated with speech. Lashon hara k'yosebai, could be lashon hara, could be rechilus, could be dvarim b'talim, could be bitul teira, could be leitzonis, could be chanifa. All type of situations. These are averis associated with speech, with dibur. As he says, oishari avoinus, other averis hatluyim b'shiroshom b'bchines aruach, or any averis that affect the ruach element of the neshama. In other words, as we pointed out, dibur is the section that affects the ruach element of the neshama, the ruach element. So it affects the ruach element of his soul. So what happens is, in his kalkul bozeh b'chines aruach, what he did was, he damaged it, he ruined it. In other words, there's no concept of chorus by ruach. As he says right here, look in the immediate brackets, look, he says, v'hagam she'ein b'chines aruach nichras klal. And even though, as we pointed out, that there is no inyan of being cut off. L'gabe ruach, there's no inyan of chorus. K'loin metzinu b'toyer inyan ha'chorus, rak. Where do we find it? Eitz ha'bechinez ha'nefesh levat. As it says, v'nichlus ha'nefesh ahi. V'nichlus ha'nefoshes ho'isois. Always he finds chorus by lotion of nefesh. U'k'yoyz ha'arbe. V'chein kotzeb l'kut t'toyer pashas bo'isham. U'b'perik vov. Ma'ha'gilgulim e'besoy v'shot. That what? Chorus only applies to the chelik ha'nefesh of the soul, not to the chelik of ruach. However, even though there is no chorus to the chelik of ruach, but you can damage it, you can tarnish it. He says, "Im kol ze al yedei hu avoynes hatluyim b'shiroshom b'bchinas ruach." Those are averis that affect the ruach element. Who mekalkaloi upoigmoi. You have to realize, he says, that in fact that this ruins it, it damages it. It causes all the tarnish, right? It causes all of the tarnishes to the ruach, and he points it out. Not only that, umagbil umaze koyach ruach hatum rachman l'slan. So what he actually says is this: Netzarechot, there is no chorus on ruach. But you know what? He surrounds it with tumen. And as ruach finds the chelik ruach of his soul, instead of being in an atmosphere of kedusha, it's surrounded with the forces of tumen that you have created. Your averus of dibur, which is associated with ruach, you have now put your ruach element into a tumidic environment. You brought it into an environment which is so repulsive to it, and it's tremendous tsar to the ruach element of one's neshama. So the averus dealing with ruach, this is averus with dibur. Averus with dibur. There's no concept of chorus, true. There's no concept of chorus, but you can damage it, you can ruin it, you can be mekalkulate, you can tarnish it, and not only that, you are creating an Aryan atmosphere of tumah, as he says. Umagbir leumazeh, in contrast of kedusha, you are magbir, says ruach hatum rachmal aslam. And he goes, however, he says, but again, it's not all lost, because the top of ruach, what's the keser of ruach, is connected to neshama. Neshama, that's a kodesh baruch hu. So being that the connection has not been severed, so therefore a person is able to do tshuva. By the way, tshuva is not just bedibur vidui. Tshuva is also the machshava. Machshava is neshama. If a person really has strong machshavas, he makes up his mind very strongly. I want to change my way of life. I want to reconstruct my way of life. That basically reinforces the neshama element, which therefore the ruach contact with neshama becomes very reinforced, and therefore becomes a tikkun for the ruach. As he points out, mitzatcha b'chinu el yoyna, because the upper stage again of ruach, Soit Keser Shaloi, Keser again, which is the upper stage of the Tem. Koshu v'dovik loyelam v'pchina tachtoyne shal neshama. Remember, the peak of Ruach touches the bottom of neshama. So yuchal hu lehizakin al yidei b'chines ha'neshama b'yiruhi tshuva. So what he's able through thinking, he's able to be able to tshuva, the neshama element, right? All of that. He's able to connect with that through here, who is Shuvim Mamachshava Saleh, Shubichinis HaNeshama. So what do we find out? So we found out Nefesh, chorus can be created. 9 levels of Nefesh, chorus is created. Ruach, there's no concept of chorus. No matter what a Avera person did, there's no concept of chorus by Ruach. However, Ruach can be tarnished. The Avera affects the Chelik of Ruach. Neshama, we point out, is so high that it does not even become affected at all by the Avera. That's the next paragraph, and we finish with that paragraph. Al bechin is anishama, he says. But the bechin of anishama, the nishama v'yid, which is the highest level, he says, Einom nivgemes klal yoylom. Man's action, he says, man's action, he says, it cannot affect the chelik of the neshama element by his avera. You know why? Ki mekoyer sherosha hu me'olam ha'mishumer mimaga yisezorim. Because it comes from such a high, it's rooted in such a high world, that it's far beyond the reach of any strange action or anything. With vuka li'olam, the neshama always remains connected b'shoyrish ha'neshama, in the source of the neshama. There's neshama, then there's the shoyrish is even higher. The shoyrish of the neshama is even higher. The neshama always remains connected with shoyrish. The neshama with its root are two aspects that can never be separated. Shehem reyim, these are, so to speak, like two neighbors, b'loy misparshin le'almen. They can never be separated. The ein ma'ase ho'odo magiyem, he says, o'der klal le'kalko chazisholem. The Ma'aseh Odom B'chlal cannot affect it. Ma'aseh Odom B'chlal has no influence. And therefore, look what he says. Even if a person has improper machshavos, he's thinking machshavos which are outright, he says, also men ha'toyva, it will not affect the nisham itself. The Im Ha'odom Choyte B'machshava Sh'leitoyva Chaz V'sholem, you know what it affects? It affects himself. Hu Goyrim Ro Li'atzmoy, he is going terrible ro for himself. You know what he's Goyrim Ro? He's going to create forces of tumor around him and all of these situations. His whole being now becomes enveloped in the area of tumor, but his neshama element, the top element of his soul, he says, remember what we said? The neshama is no longer within man after the chet of Adam Rishon, but we want to glean from the sparks of neshama. Your aveiros have removed you from allowing you from gleaning sparks of the neshama. You will not be able to enjoy that. But the neshama, wherever it is, there has not itself not been affected. Avaloi shehi nifgemes chaz v'sholem. But the neshama element itself is not tarnished by this person's immoral thoughts. So we find out, Rabbi Yisrael, what do we see? That no matter what the aver of a person can affect nefesh, can affect ruach, but the neshama is so high and it's so close, connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it's rooted in the most higher areas in the higher world, that the aver cannot reach that far. So let's take just 2 or 3 minutes of the sheet. We'll not be able to do any more. And to see a svara, why the avera of a person cannot reach the neshama element of a person. What we're going to do is, let's take a look, Rabbi Yisrael, here on the left side, number 3. From Sefer Bachar to Bachai, to Sefer Nefesh Chaim. Let's take a look at number 3, so on the left side, lower half of the sheet. And he brings here, V'hine binyan shel shoyrish ha'neshama, Shemati Magoyin Rabbi Yisrael Elio Weintraub Shlita, one of the very highly respected Talmid HaChacham in Eretz Yisrael. He was here a while back, a year or two ago. He came to Lakewood, I believe Leiv Lachim, or a well-known organization, brought him, and hundreds, if not thousands of people came to hear him speak. The address that he spoke is a very stark, Ebal Musa, Ebal Machshove, very well-known in Eretz Yisrael. He's an American originally. Anyway, he's out to read by now. So Shemati Mahagoy, he's wheeled in a wheelchair. Shemati Mahagoy Rabbi Yisrael Weintraub Shlita. He says, you know why the aveira of a person cannot reach the chelik of neshama? Because the truth is, the aveira of a person, of a yid, is really only b'chitzoinis. The truth of the matter is, a yid deep down wants to do the right thing. The reason a yid is chayte is because why? Because of the outward influences around him. But if you go check, if you take a flashlight, or take a deep x-ray, spiritual x-ray, and look deeper and deeper and deeper, you'll find that the nekuda hapnimis, the most inner nekuda of a yid, wants to do the right thing. So even the aveira that a person does, it's only the chitzonius, it's not the pnimius. And therefore it does not reach as far as to be poigim in the chelik neshoma. So she nekuda pnimius b'tach b'nei Yisrael, she roitz alat es rotzen Hashem. Because that is the fact, that the most inner nekuda of a yid, they say the pintel of a yid, they say, the Pintel Yid wants to have Kedusha. The Pintel Yid wants to do the right thing. They say that Pintel Yid is what keeps a Yid Jewish. So no matter where he is, no matter how far a Jew strays, to keep him from converting. And even if someone all his life was a Poshaya, but he's Hashem. We saw that in history. When push came to shove, even Yidin were not really observant. But the choice was either give up your religion or die. Many, many chose death. You'll say, what do you mean? They were not Shemishabbos. You're not observant Jews. But yet, that pintali, that comes out. That spark, which is recessed, when the time comes, it just comes out. When it is challenged, he says, we find that Yidden, they're given the bravery to go on Kiddush Hashem, or Ilavar Avodah Zorah. Yibchar, he chose the Kaddish Shema Yisbarah, for Loi Ilavar Avodah Zorah. Ki Apshuhu Oivar Averis. Because, by the way, many times when a person does an Averis, he rationalizes. What he rationalizes is a number of things. First of all, many, many Jews think, they say to themselves, I'm a good Jew anyway. People don't always look at it that a Maisa Averis, being non-observant, has some is a stira. I'm Jewish. And people are, by the way, you have people who really, they're proud Jews, even though they're not observant. They don't see that that's a stira. They don't see it. But they understand giving up your religion, converting, accepting, that is already a stira. And that they're not ready to do. So the Melech says, V'choysh, if he thinks, Sh'yochel li'es k'sheya v'gam yi ben Yisrael, Avol k'shebo nidoin shel oven avoy dezora, Roye hu bozeh stira mukhletes, v'yahadu shaloy. If you have to give, if he's forced and challenged to give up his religion, there he sees a stira. That's a contradiction to my Jewishness. But once the contradiction is there, his neshama comes out. The depth of his neshama, the true essence of neshama, the emes big part of his neshama, tifoil shayrish neshmot lahagzike yahalishloi, the imsa napshal kiddush Hashem. The boy side, the truth is, the Tanya says it, but the Tanya says the way the Tanya, of course, knows how to say it. The Tanya says it in a very deep way. And he says, every yid has what's called ahava musteris. There's a hidden ahava to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every yid, by his very nature being created and born a yid, has an inborn love to Kodesh Baruch Hu, even though he doesn't recognize it. The Tanya says it's a hava musteris. It's deep, deep. It's deep, deep belief. And when the time comes to be tested, he says, that's when you found yidin, that they were ready. They were ready to go al Kiddush Hashem, because that hidden ahava now came out to the forefront. And the time came, and the melu you saw the godless of a yid. You have no way or way to understand the kedusha that is in every yid. There's the nekuda pnimius that's untainted. And that's why, no matter what avera he did, chelik neshama sheboy does not reach that far. Because all of his averas that he does is only bechitzoinius. It's not his nekuda pnimius.
Shama Aloy, stay both of those up there, Lewis. Was based on all. By Azare, Maranoi, Palatemir, Shoyim, Yakim, Kosovoi, Skalavis, Karashmeira, Bo, the Alamo de Burkis, I can't.